ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic having a good time hanging out with you. Obviously having a great time hanging out with Devon Gibbons. For the last couple of hours, it's you and me until midnight. Tyler Zuli on hand as well as we roll on here. A lot to continue to talk about, obviously, with these Philadelphia 76ers coming out of the All-Star break, trying to see if they can keep the momentum rolling. They've got 27 games left, 13 on the road. 4-9 is a possibility. It really is. I know they got some bad teams on the road, but it's totally a possibility. There are people talking about them winning 9 games or 10 games on the road. I'm like, which team are you exactly watching? We got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about the changes to the NFL postseason and more changes that are apparently in the works for a little bit further down the line. We got a lot of stuff to get to tonight. So let's just keep things rolling with Truth in Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Truth?
Hey, what's up, Joe Torti? What's happening, man?
Another day in paradise, brother. How about you?
I'm all right. Listen, I have to be honest. I'm underwhelmed with the Sixers team this year and moving forward. I mean, the team's been healthy all year long. You know, Embiid, watching him in the All-Star game, he's still in horrible shape. You know, his conditioning just makes me mad. He just doesn't take the game serious enough for me, and he's immature on top of it, and he just can't get his conditioning right. So that just makes me sick. Watching him in that All-Star game made me sick. And like I said, the team's been healthy all year. We're the 5th seed. We should be much higher. And guess what? If Kevin Durant were playing this year, we might be the 6th or 7th seed, for real. So all this talk about making a run down the stretch, I don't see it happening. Brett Brown, he's going to wind up making this team, you know, catch the playoffs, get bounced the first round. And honestly, I'd like to see Jaren Collins replace him next year.
So do you think that a new coach, like say it is Collins, is enough with this roster to, you know, be a better team? Do you think that Brett Brown is the reason that they're in the spot where they are right now? Or is it something deeper than just the coach and the coach is just kind of the first step?
No, I think it's Brett Brown. I think the team, along with their biggest stars, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I think the respect's gone. I don't think they respect him. I think if we grab Jaren Collins, who's coached, obviously Golden State has the experience coaching superstars, has been a part of NBA titles, come to this city, coach these guys, and really get some respect into them and teach them how to be champions and put that hunger in them to want to be champions and win an NBA championship.
Well, Truth, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And I love the passion, too, because it's totally merited. Like, the fact is that this is a team, and I know that we've talked about this at length, but we haven't talked about it in a while. This is a team that we were expecting something completely different from this year relative to what we got, right? Like, even if you were on board with me, not a big fan of the Al Horford signing when it happened, even if that were the case, you still saw the other moves they made and thought, okay, well, the rest of the Eastern Conference is kind of down a little bit in some key spots. You know, anticipating the Raptors were going to fall off a little bit, anticipating that the Nets, for example, without Kevin Durant would be falling off a little bit. Instead, pretty much every other team has been kind of hanging in there relative to where we expected they'd be. And the Sixers are one of, at least to this point in the season, one of the biggest underachieving teams in the entire NBA. Now, look, I know that no change is going to happen before Brett Brown gets the axe, right? Like, I understand that there's not going to be a major organizational shakeup without that step being taken first. Just because you can argue that his is the hottest seat of anyone in the organization, player, coach, executive, whoever. I still don't know if that's enough. You know, I hear what Truth is saying, and I hear what a lot of other people are saying regarding Brett Brown and how much he's holding the Sixers back and things like that. But I don't know that you can have a coach come in and quote unquote make Brett Brown, or sorry, make Ben Simmons rather shoot a jump shot, or make Joel Embiid get into shape. Because what is the alternative? Like, are you a better team long term? Say Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons get stubborn about it. Are you a better team long term if Howell Neto is your starting point guard rather than Ben Simmons? Are you a better team long-term if Al Horford is your starting center rather than Joel Embiid? That answer is obviously no. Whether you're a big fan of those players or not as transcendent superstars is almost irrelevant to this conversation. It's, do you think that they'd be in better shape with the other guys? Because that's what you're looking at if you've got this disciplinarian coach who comes in and is like, you know what, it's my way or the highway. You guys have to do this, you have to do that. It's going to be a big adjustment. Now, it's possible, entirely possible, that you get buy-in from the entire team. But it's also possible that that thing kind of slides sideways on you and you lose what you hope to accomplish. You lose the team coming together, the chemistry, and everything else. So I don't know. I just think it is difficult now with the way that the team is put together to bring in a coach that is like a quote-unquote disciplinarian. I just don't know, A, if that guy is going to exist, and B, if that guy is, it's going to work. Like, if this is the group that's going to respond to that kind of coaching. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown next on The Fanatic. Good evening, Chris.
Joe, always a pleasure, my man.
Likewise.
Is this Bully Ball or is this Buddy Ball?
it's looking more like that one.
Yeah, it's looking more like Buddy Ball because you got Brett Brown sitting there patting people on the back after he chews them out in game two of a playoff series. What was it, last year or the year before? Like, and we knew that this team was going to beat it. So I've said this to you again, so it's the same shtick I've used before against you. But I'd like to dive into it a little further.
Sure.
So what is the end result? You hire a coach, you bring him in, and he tries to be the opposite of Brett Brown. These guys don't respond because they're so used to the polar opposite, which is you try to come in and command the room, and you end up pulling a Chip Kelly because you want guys to be this way, and this way, and they want to be the complete polar opposite.
Sure.
Then what happens with, management? And I'm not even talking so much Elton Brand. I'm talking Joshua Harris. At that point, you know, like, I really think that is the biggest problem to this whole conundrum is Josh Harris. I know he's kind of reaped the benefits of buying his team at a low-risk, high-reward type of deal. But at some point, we need somebody in here who knows what the heck they're doing. And Josh Harris only knows how to manage hockey. The New Jersey Devils. Like, let him just enjoy his baby in New Jersey and give us somebody who knows how to hire people who know what they're doing. Coach, GM, I love Elton Brand, but for some reason, Glenn Robinson and Alex Burks just not getting it done for me.
They don't do it for it. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to explain why that is, because if you don't like them, you just don't like the players. But, like, are there other guys out there now that would make you feel better if they were able to add them at the buyout window or what have you?
See, that's so hard because after last year, I don't know that there's really any team that you could put together unless you're bringing back J.J. Redick, which – and see, you know what? Let me say this because I haven't said this yet. Robert Covington, for everything we didn't think he would be – you know, the fact that he kind of, you know, his size was kind of undervalued and underplayed, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, at this point, we're throwing darts at a dartboard because all the good guys are off the board, Joe. If they could bring back Robert Covington and J.J. Redick and make a push to the semifinals, because I know this team has a quasi-shot in heck to go to the finals. You know, at least I'll be interested in maybe keeping Brett Brown one more year. But you know what? I think his time has come.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the phone call. I don't think that you're going to be landing Robert Covington, obviously, with the Houston Rockets making that acquisition. I think that they got him because they like him. So I agree that obviously that would help. I don't think that he's going to be a guy who's going to be available for you, though. So when it comes down to it, I do think that you have kind of a rock and a hard place situation when it comes to a disciplinarian head coach versus players who have been coached by a player's coach the entire way. Having said that, I think that, first of all, let's take the big backup, right? Tyler Zuli, I know you're locked into Devils hockey.
Of course.
They're not doing great.
I was quite wrong on them.
Yeah, well, lots of people were.
I thought they might be a playoff team.
Sixers, also underperforming. There is a Josh Harris undercurrent there, but I think that that's more coincidental. Like, I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't get the impression that Josh Harris is involved in the day-to-day operations where he's the sole hiring voice with these for these executives and things like that. Like, I get the impression that there have been some misses overall with the organization. Now, he is a common threat. I will give you that. There's no way around that, and it's a good point made by Chris. But I don't think that he's the sole reason why the team has struggled. I think that
I would agree with that.
Well, one of the big reasons, and Tyler, we've talked about this a ton. I don't think this is an easy team to coach. I don't think this is an easy team to build. I think that there are a lot of issues when it comes to the Sixers. And if things come together perfectly, everyone involved should be commended. When you're looking at the fact that Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, when you're talking about the fact that you have one of the most dominant big men in the NBA in a league where the big man has become largely devalued, not useless, but certainly devalued relative to the 90s and the 80s. And then, of course, you've got, wouldn't call it a dearth of wing talent, but you don't have top level talent on the wings. You've got a coach who wants to go pace and space with a team that doesn't shoot particularly well, right? I mean, I think that you've got a lot of things there that create issues. And I don't know how much of those are going to be shored up by, hey, just get a new coach in there. I'm not saying that Brett Brown has done enough to save his job. If he doesn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, as far as I'm concerned, he has not done enough to keep his job. However, I don't think that hiring a new coach is like a panacea and everything is just going to get all better as soon as you hire someone else because of all this quote-unquote talent that the Sixers have.
I think that's the problem. A lot of times people are going to, especially with the recency bias of it, people are going to turn to two situations and go, see, it worked there. They're going to obviously turn to Golden State, mm-hmm. where Mark Jackson was the final step before Steve Kerr was the guy to get them over the hump. Then they're going to go and look at Dwayne Casey and see he was the coach of the year. They fired him. Nick Nurse goes and wins the NBA Finals the next season. Those, to me, are the most extreme outliers on the good side. Now, I don't think you're going to get the extreme outlier on the bad side where you fire Brett Brown and you get a guy come in and they regress 10 games. I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't believe that they are going to be this miraculous change all of a sudden because a new voice is in there.
Well, something that spoke to me, and I don't know if it speaks to you or everybody else, is that the Golden State Warriors were also balling when Luke Walton was the head coach. You know, when he was the interim coach, right, and Steve Kerr wasn't there, right? So I think that the way that works, good teams just happen to be good. Like, you know, good teams will continue to be good teams. Bad teams will continue to struggle. And sometimes the coach does help you take the next step, sometimes not. But I do think that if you've got something that you're not satisfied with, like, for example, you think you've got a top two team in the Eastern Conference and they're hovering around the fifth seed, that your struggles might be deeper than the coach. That's why I've been asking everyone who's called in talking about firing Brett Brown. I'm not defending Brett Brown, but I am asking, is that the fix? Like, is that the only thing they need to do?
I don't think it's the only thing they need to do, but is it the fix? No. But is it a massive fix? Yeah. And I think I probably sit somewhere in between you on one side and Pat Egan on the other side, whereas I am totally for, if this thing doesn't work, that's it. There's right. No more chances. But I also see your point where I look at it and go, is the next thing greater than or equal to?
Right. And it's tough to say. There are lots of coaching changes that just do not work out. But I think that, to be fair, some of them have been quick trigger, like you get rid of a coach way too soon. In this case, Brett Brown has had more than enough time to make his case. And you know who Brett Brown is as a head coach at this point. I don't think that you run the risk of firing Brett Brown too early if they underachieve and make a move like this year. 610-632-0975. Lance in Arizona is next on the Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, so I talked to you about this before. I don't think Brett Brown's the guy to get them there, but I still think they're going to have issues. Like, I don't think these issues just get covered up because you hired a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger issue to me is I hear people go, oh, yeah, we'll just trade for Collins, and then we'll go out and win a championship. I'm just going to let you guys know the Warriors have next year three stars coming back.
Right.
So you have one star, they have three. They're going to beat you. If you play against the Clippers, against their two stars, against your one, they're going to beat you. The Lakers have two stars. You have one. They're going to beat you. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, if they're healthy, they're going to beat you with that one star. You need stars to win in the NBA. The only team that hasn't had, like, star-driven that's won a championship in the last, I don't know, 20 years that hasn't had multiple stars might have been Toronto and might have been Detroit if you consider those guys not to be superstar guys.
Right.
But they have four legitimate stars.
And I mean, Kawhi last year was almost good enough anyway, regardless of who you were playing.
It took Warriors multiple injuries to the Warriors to win it. So even that, you could say, well, they probably don't win if Kevin Durant doesn't get hurt, Klay Thompson doesn't get hurt.
Sure. Fair enough.
So I look at this and people are like, oh, yeah, we just got to trade Embiid and we'll just bring in this guy who's a lesser talent. You're not winning a title unless Joel Embiid brings you back another superstar or those two superstars that you have reach their pinnacle.
Well, I don't mean to pick on the guy, but Lance, you and I have talked about this a lot. In the early, heady, dream-filled days of the process, even if you could envision Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid as being your two guys, you probably expected somebody bigger, better, and brighter than Tobias Harris to be the third star. And I think that hurts a lot.
And not only that, you would have expected with the cap space that you traded Markelle Fultz away for nothing to get Al Horford. Mm. Al Horford, he's what you had before the process. A good player, not a great player.
Right.
So why did you spend that money to do that on a guy who's out of his prime anyway? To me, I'd rather pay Dario Saric the money than paid to Al Horford. Like, I'd rather be paying Dario Saric $15 million than being paid Al Horford $30 million. Like, the reality is he's a better fit.
Yeah, well, Lance, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. And, I mean, I guess to that point, right, and Tyler, we've talked about this too. You know, you look at the talent that has changed teams, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, like you, Anthony Davis. You look at the quality of player that has changed teams, and I get that you can explain away every single one. I understand. I get that you can make up reasons and excuses, and I'm not saying that you're making them up, but I'm saying you can give me reasons and excuses why the Sixers didn't get any of these guys. It's hard not to say that the Sixers fans during the process era weren't sold a bill of goods when you could allow yourself to hope that LeBron James would be signing with your team. Or if not Kevin Durant, you know, maybe Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving or Paul George or Russell, any of the names we just laid out there, right? Like, the idea is that you get your two young guys and you have enough talent there to attract a superstar. And it's not Tobias Harris's fault that he's not a superstar. It's not Al Horford's fault that he's not a superstar. But that is what the team has become. And I have to admit, 3 years ago when we were in the thick of this thing, there's no way that this is what I thought the team was going to look like on the other side.
So I know that you're a big proponent of not liking the contract of the superstar. So to me, the Al Horford contract is like secondary. It's almost subsidiary. You sign the guy to be the final kind of piece to put this whole thing together.
Yes.
I've not ever once had an issue with the Al Horford contract because of that fact. You
wanted the player, so you had to pay what you paid.
Yeah, you're paying what the market dictates you're paying him.
Gotcha.
So okay. I don't have an issue with that per se. What I think that I do agree with you on is there was no contingency plan. There was no plan B. It was Tobias Harris, and it was Tobias Harris.
Well, just this year. And that's my problem.
Yes.
Like, my problem is by not landing LeBron or Kawhi or Paul George or Russell Westbrook or any of these mega stars that change teams, since the Sixers have been tanking, you could almost argue that, like, yeah, you still like what the team has done and you think that they're talented, but like when they were losing on purpose for all of those years, you weren't thinking that, hey, you're tanking for this group. I have to admit, and if you are honest with yourself as a Sixers fan, if you watched them tanking, win 10 games and 17 games or whatever, right? And you said at the other side, this is the team that you'd end up with, I bet that you wouldn't sign off on it. I bet that knowing what you know now, you wouldn't sign off on effectively having a similar team to what you had pre-process when you were losing to the Celtics in 5 games in the second round.
I don't know if I agree with that last statement.
Really?
I think that they are much better than the pre-process team. Because
okay.
That team did not have a top two center in basketball.
Okay, fair.
That team did not have, I don't know, would you consider Drew Holiday a top 5 point guard in the league at that point?
Probably not at that point.
Okay,
yeah,
so they
not
did
point.
Not have a top 5 point guard in the league. I believe that the Ben Simmons is a top 5 point guard in the league.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
Then you start kind of playing the comparison game. Josh Richardson and what? I mean, it may have been Jason Richardson to begin the season.
Right.
You know, and then you got Tobias Harris versus Andre Iguodala and Al Horford versus, Spencer Halls or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, that team is just, with those five alone, to me, is better significantly than the pre-process final team.
Fair enough. I'm not going to say that that the Sixers today aren't better than they were then. What I'm saying is, knowing what you had to go through to get this team, was that worth it? Or could you have put together a team that looks kind of like this one and not win 10 games in a season?
No, that point is correct. That's not worth it at all. And I, Devon can't stand the process.
Yes.
I'm the same way. I think the process was awful. And we had to sit through it. And what it yielded was potentially two generational superstars.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But what it was meant to yield was two homegrown generational superstars and a third superstar.
Right. And that's why I harp on Tobias Harris all the time.
Yes.
Because if Tobias Harris is LeBron James, we're having a completely different conversation.
They've already won the title.
Completely different.
So I think that that's fair. That's a fair question to say, would you have signed up for this team? I don't know. I don't know if the answer is yes. I really don't.
All right.
I'd like to believe so.
I think I'd battle with you, by the way, on Ben Simmons' top 5 point guard in the league.
We could probably do that.
I think I'd battle with you.
Once we get these guys.
610-632-0975. Luke, Drew, Jay, we're going to get to you guys on the other side here. It is the Joe Torty Show. Tyler Zuli producing right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until midnight, Tyler Zuli is producing this evening's program. Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. Talking about your Philadelphia 76ers. Get to the CBA, etc. in a matter of moments. But as promised, we're going to go back to the phones. Luke in Westchester leads things off on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Joe. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. There's no doubt it was a underwhelming first half, but I'm optimistic. I mean, I thought I think we still got a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference. I like the new look with Hal Horford on the bench. I mean, I get that, you know, all the money you paid him, you wanted to keep him in the starting lineup, but I'm optimistic about the way they look. Now, you know, I agree. If you don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you got to start thinking about changing up the look with the coach. And that's just the reality of it. But having said that, you know, to your point about the Warriors getting Kerr and bringing them over the edge and the Raptors getting Nurse, I mean, it's really a player's league. You know, they also got Kawhi Leonard and
sure.
The Warriors got Kevin Durant. So, you know, like you guys said, these mega stars, these are the guys that dictate the wins and losses. So, you know, Brett Brown going and a new coach coming in isn't going to change everything, like you said, but, you know, it might have to come to that.
Yeah, is it a necessary change? Like, that's the ultimate question.
Hey, if you don't make it this year, you got to think about switching up the look just for the morale of the franchise itself.
Yeah, I'm on board, Luke. I'm on board, man. All right, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, brother. And that's the thing, is like, I believe that there's probably a chemistry issue. Al Horford to the bench actually helps. I think that you've seen the most usage of Al Horford that you're going to see for the duration of the contract. Like, I could see this thing. I could see Al Horford in a couple of years being a guy who, like, is pretty much an honorary member of the Sixers. You're like, oh, yeah, Al Horford is still on the team. Doesn't really show up or dress for games.
You mean paying the Solomon Hill contract?
Right.
The Chandler Parsons deal?
You see what I'm saying? Like, I could see...
That's ugly.
I could see that a couple of years down the line. It's not good. Don't get me wrong. It is not good, and it's not something that I'm excited about. The only way that I was allowing myself to be on the Al Horford train is I was like, you know what? Maybe he has more left in the tank than I think he does. And I'm not saying that he's got nothing left in the tank. I'm saying that he's surely not shown it here in Philadelphia, whether it's because of him, whether it's because of his usage, his role, whatever. I haven't seen anything to convince me that he's got a ton left to give you. Now, the bench role and coming off and spelling Joel Embiid and that sort of thing, I'm okay with that so far. But I do need to know what the composition of the team looks like. I would anticipate that from a pace standpoint, from a shooting perspective, things are going to improve even if you take a hit defensively. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti at 97.5, The Fanatic. Philly West tweets in, DHawk43, your question about the Sixers today against pre-processed Sixers, did you consider how players have more say-so on where they play? LeBron to L.A., Leonard and George to L.A., Kemba to the Celts. They went where they wanted to go. I do consider that, actually. And here's the thing, is that like I didn't think that you were going to drag players kicking and screaming to Philadelphia. The idea was that you were going to create an environment so conducive for winning that megastars would want to choose Philadelphia. You know, it's a smaller world than it's ever been. Like, what is so attractive about Boston as a city relative to Philadelphia, right? Like, I get if you want to have business ventures in L.A., but, you know, Kevin Durant chose Brooklyn. I mean, you can get your stuff done everywhere. If you're talking about an NBA player, you're not going through the security line at PHL. You know what I mean? To try to get to whatever meeting or endorsement situation, commercial shoot, movie, whatever. See, I don't think that it's just about the weather or about all of the other stuff. Believe me, it's like, it's not the there are some states there where it's like, hey, it's really, really bad to be a millionaire in these states from a tax perspective and everything else, right? Like, I think that is my problem, Philly West. It's not necessarily that... I didn't anticipate the players being able to choose where they could go. I thought that Philadelphia would be more attractive after the process with all of this cap space and all of this young talent and stuff like that, that players would be signing up to go. When LeBron James, who is a trendsetter in the NBA, decides not to come to Philadelphia and to go to a loser LA Lakers team, that's when my alarm bells started going off. That like, hey, this should have been a no-brainer. Are we looking at this the wrong way, or do other superstars not view this situation the same way that we do. That's where my concern is about pre-processed Sixers versus post-processed Sixers.
I think that that's probably fair. You know, and you put all those things together. It's not the one, it's not the weather, but it's also not just it's bad to be a millionaire in X city. You put the all of those things together. I don't know about you, but when I put all of these things into like a blender and pop out one answer, there's one clear-cut answer as to where you should go if you want everything. It's Miami.
That's exactly correct. No state income tax, perfect weather, everything that you could possibly want there. You've got a major, major major airport there that will take you wherever you need to go in the continental U.S. direct. I agree.
Like, playing for L.A., you're going to get killed with taxes.
Yes, murdered.
A lot of those places, the weather, not so good. And Boston. Again, it's putting everything in the blender.
Plus, I mean, you play for a Pat Riley-led organization. To me, that is a plus. Play for Eric Spoelstra, who I also view as a plus. That's what I mean. Like, there are players, you can go wherever you want to go. I just thought that Philadelphia would be a more attractive situation. That's what it was supposed to be, post-process. If Tobias Harris is the best you can do because you were the only team that was willing to pay him like the Mega Max contract, that's a problem. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on the Fanatic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Great. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You
made some great points. For, you know, before I make my points, I think what you just were saying was just spot on, man. Excellent analysis of the whole pre-post process situation, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty safe to say, I mean, we're all pretty underwhelmed with the season so far. I think if you would have said, you know, we're only going to be in fifth place right now at this point in the year, that, you know, at the beginning of the season, I would have said you're crazy. You know, I obviously thought we were at least a second seed, three seed, type team,
sure.
If not even challenging the Bucks for the number one seed. I thought that Toronto would have a bigger fallout. I didn't think Boston would be as good as they are. And Miami, surprisingly, is, you know, doing as well as they are. So, and who's to think, like you said earlier, what would, you know, with New Jersey, if they had a healthy Kevin Durant, how they would be doing. So, you know, it's a pretty loaded East now that you think about it. So the Sixers really got to be on their game these last few months here, and got to really just buckle down, and hopefully Brett can figure out something. And if they don't make it to the conference finals, obviously he is going to be the logical first act to be dropped, I think.
So do you have an idea of what the team looks like in the post Brett Brown era? Like, what would you want them to look like?
You know, it all depends on what type of coach they bring in and what type of system they want to implement. You know, it's really tough to say that. I mean, I definitely think they need a better, you know, outside shooting game, you know, because we're not going to get it from Simmons. You know, we know what he is, and that's fine. I'm fine with what he is. You know, if the shooting game comes, it does. If not, we still know he's a grinder, so that's cool. So I'd like to see, you know, a better, more rounded shooting game, but still, you know, keep our defensive strategy alive.
True. Thanks, man. I appreciate the phone call as always. And I think that the core DNA of the team probably stays the same just based on the players that you have, which is kind of what Drew was saying. But, you know, is it truly like an attitude adjustment? Is there, you know, a mentality shift that can happen if you bring in a new coach? I think probably, especially short term. Like, I think that the rah-rah coaches will wear people out sometimes. But I do think that you will see a spike in the early returns there. 610-632-0975, your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Jay is going to lead us off. Sean, you're going to be next, and then it can be you. We do have a couple of open phone lines. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Rolling with you until midnight. Tyler Zuli is producing this evening's program. Couple of open phone lines. 610-632-0975. Discussing, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers as per usual. Want to remind you, of course, about the Fanatic Pro Shop. Want to outfit yourself in some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag? Lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team-themed merch at great prices, from hoodies to long-sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, and a lot more. Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners, with unique Fanatic and Philly designs. Go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop, open now. Let's go to Jay in Southwest next on the Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
What's going on, Joe?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. Want to talk about the Sixers, man.
Yes.
I definitely think Brett has to go. Part of it is not even his fault, man. The team is immature. They're not that young. NBA as a whole is young. They've been in the league now enough years that they should have grown up, especially with heartbreaking loss like last year. Ben Simmons, you got guarded by a center the year before that was disrespectful. You haven't come back better in the last 2 years. Get out of here. The whole organization is at fault for that. Brett Brown, he's not a leader of men. And when you're dealing with immature young guys who got a lot of money, you need a leader of men that can speak to them and make them take heed to what he's saying. And he's not that guy, unfortunately. So guess what? You got to go.
Yeah.
Also, too, he's not a great coach. Do we see him designing great plays? Do we see him, you know, making great substitutions? How many times have you questioned his rotation?
Yeah, or the timeout usage for me, Jay. That's the big thing, especially on the road.
Oh, my God. It goes hand in hand. You're right. Yes, the timeout usage and the rotation. You're like, dude, I've seen high school coaches that manage games a lot better than this. What are you doing? Greg Popovich has spawned a lot of coaches in the league. It's almost like Bill Belichick. Not as bad. But how many of those guys are great coaches? You got Bud who's doing his thing, but how many are great coaches, man? Everybody wanted a pop coach, man. And hey, man, it's not the thing, man. It's not. You know, would Greg Popovich been as great as he was without Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and David Robinson? I don't think so.
Right. Well, plus, it also tells you, Jay, that, you know, there's a great chance that Greg Popovich was in charge of just everything, and, you know, every other coach might have been kind of along for the ride in the heyday of the Spurs there.
True. He did. He was. He basically was in charge of everything. But then that goes to show, you know, all right, Tobias Harris he's supposed to be the number two option on this team, but he really should. Ben Simmons should be the number two option easily. It should be 1A and 1B between him and Joel. And if Ben Simmons is not 1B or 1B on this team, man, we'll never reach our potential. Trying to play space and pace is ridiculous with this team. Everybody copies champions. Golden State had the two best shooters in the league on their team at the same time. Name another team that had that ever.
Right, exactly. You're talking about two of the best in history, Jay. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. You're right. And then they added another in Kevin Durant, who's just, his true shooting percentage is just absolutely insane. You can't duplicate that. The Rockets have tried, and the Rockets have gotten reasonably close, and they haven't been able to do it. You're not going to get any closer than that at trying to out-warrior the Warriors.
And then you throw everything out the window and you say, we're going to start P.J. Tucker at the center. And, you know, you're riding the crazy train at that point.
Literally, I think the Rockets are too far gone. Like, the Rockets are, like, committed to making this happen. And it's like, all right, you've reached the point of, like, truly diminished returns where you go smaller, you get better. You keep going smaller, and now it's like you don't. PJ Tucker's your center. That's absolutely right.
I got to give Daryl Morey credit. He's going down with the ship.
That's absolutely right. That's for sure. Analytics, stats, give it to me. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Sean next in Harleysville on the Fanatic. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up? I just wanted to. You made a point how, like, the process, like, kind of game is a fair. I think it's been underwhelming. You go back to pre-process was 2012, a second-round exit, and, like, I don't know, it's the best this team can do, a second-round exit this year. I'm thinking more and more, yeah, it's like, how we made, like, the next steps to be, like, the best in the East, and I think we've gotten better, like, now, it's always, I think we are a lot better than we were pre-process, but I think the East has gotten a lot better, like, faster, up to this point. I don't know. Is there an alternative to the post process? Is, like, if this is a failure, what do we have going forward?
Well, Sean, I would say that you kind of have a blueprint laid out, right, from some other teams that didn't go through the full-on tank. I mean, you look at the teams that really did go for the tank, and there's none of them really at the top of the league, right? Like, the Knicks haven't been able to do anything. The Sixers, like you said, have been underwhelming. It's the teams like the Bucks. It seems like the Warriors. It's teams, the Rockets, who have just tried to do it other ways that have had more success.
Yeah, I think so. I think we, like, to be bad for as long as we were and, like, just gave other teams a better chance to get better. I think as much as we like the process, as much as it's reached us two great talents, it's not gotten us, like, any better, like, in terms of, like, a playoff run than we were 7 years ago. So I think the process is a failure in that regard.
Well, Sean, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And this is to Tyler's point. Earlier, when we were talking about which team's better, I would say that you can't even make an argument that the pre-process team was as talented as this group. The problem that I have is that, like, the narrative gets rewritten and we almost forget what it was like back then. Now we're just like, oh, the team wasn't good enough to win. But at the time, we were talking about a bounce here, a game here, a decision by a coach there. Like, that's how close it was. And there were reasons and excuses for why the team was losing in the second round and why they couldn't get by Boston, right? And then, you know, the Andrew Bynum thing and all that other kind of stuff, right? My issue is that this team is not better than that team from a results standpoint. And we just hide behind the quadruple bounce, or Joel Embiid wasn't in shape, or Ben Simmons got shut down against the Celtics. And it feels like we always have an answer for why this team didn't succeed, and it's temporary, and then the next year things are going to be better and things are going to be fine. When in reality, we did the same thing with the pre-processed Sixers. And I wonder if in 5 years we're going to look back on this group and be like, oh, they obviously just weren't good enough. I'm worried about that.
Are we actually looking at them and making excuses still for the years past? Or have we gotten to the point where we say, okay, first year against Boston, they were young, it was a stepping stone, let's see what happens next year. And then it comes back to bite you again. I don't know about you, but I don't have excuses anymore. I have demand for results, and I understand that these guys are still incredibly young, but I have demand for results because at this point, I can't expect anything else.
Well,
to me, it's results or failure. There is no stepping stone. There is no, if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year and lost to Milwaukee, it's another step in the right direction.
Yeah, you can live with it.
You can live with it. But to get bounced twice in the same spot 2 years in a row, and then to be headed down that path again, I'm not okay with this.
Like, that's kind of more what I'm pointing to rather than roster talent, right? There's a ridiculous fitness YouTube channel / comedy channel that people might have seen called Dom Mazzetti. And it's one of Dom's isms is a thing is only big in relation to something else that is big. This is science, right? Like, so, like, you're only big if you're bigger than the biggest guy in the gym, right? That's the premise. Do I care whether the Sixers are more talented than they were pre-process if, from a results standpoint, as Tyler was just alluding to, they're in the same spot, you know, getting bounced in the second round? Like, I don't know if, like, it doesn't matter to me at all if this team could beat the 2012 Sixers team, if they could sweep them in a playoff series 10 times out of 10, that almost doesn't make a difference. Like, you're not trying to get better than you were. You're trying to get better than the rest of the league, and that's why you're doing this. And they haven't been able to do that to this point. 610-632-0975. Jim, you're going to be up first on the other side here. 11 o'clock hour is coming your way straight ahead. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.